Welcome to Peace, Health, and Joy with Diana Wallace, a designated space in your life to receive encouragement, equipping, empowerment, and hopefully even entertainment. You guessed it, with that alliterative intro for ease, I'm a former pastor's wife and homeschool mom. But also, I've been a holistic wellness coach specializing in mysterious, hopeless situations by actively partnering with the Holy Spirit in my work since 2006. If you're looking for a unique approach to integrating wellness of spirit, soul, and body from a Christian perspective, you are in the right place. My southern accent shares my Arkansas roots, but these days my home is in Alaska. I'm tickled pink for you to join me today. Let's get started. Welcome back to Peace, Health, and Joy with Diana Wallace. Today, I am excited to share with you five ancient Chinese secrets that you are going to be intrigued by, that you are going to think differently. The next time something goes on in your body, you'll be finding yourself thinking, wonder what this could be related to. So let me get into this. Some years ago, like 20 years ago, when I began studying natural health, the concept that specific organs of our bodies are related to specific emotions that we experience in our human experience was introduced to me. And I am here to tell you it stuck. My first degree was in psychology, so I have always had a great interest in how our mind and our emotions affect our lives. In fact, this is kind of a silly little history fact about me, but when I was in fifth grade, our teacher asked us to write a report on something that was really interesting to us. Okay, so other fifth graders are talking about and writing about places that they might want to go in the world. Germany, Paris, the Bahamas. Do you know what my paper was on? Human behavior in fifth grade. I think I'm a lifer here. It's going to be something that will always be interesting to me. It has been interesting to me for a long time. So when I began to hear about the relationship between specific organs in our physical bodies being related to specific emotional states, my ears perked up and I thought, tell me more. And that's what I'm going to do with you today. I'm going to tell you more. I'm going to share with you some of maybe the five most common ones that I have seen in my practice since I started learning about this. So the first one that I had the opportunity to actually like experience and see with a client had to do with our lungs. Our lungs. Turns out, according to Chinese medicine, traditional Chinese medicine, let me give you a little backstory here real quick. Traditional Chinese medicine and Ayurveda, the Ayurvedic medicine model from India, both of those schools of thought, both of those medical models are over 2,500 years old. Okay? 2,500 years, people have been practicing these different kinds of forms of medicine. Now, by contrast, our Western medical model is approximately 150 years old. Okay, so let's just think about this. 150 years, 2,500 years. Here's the cool thing. Our Western medicine model excels at trauma. Like, hopefully not inflicting trauma, but that happens too. But more about dealing with trauma situations. Honestly, as an herbalist, as a clinical nutritionist, if someone were to reach out to me and they think that they broke a bone and they need to find out, what's going on, what do they need to do with it, I do not say, "Oh, look, here's an herb for that." No, that is entirely inappropriate, okay? They need to find out, is the bone broken? Do they need to have it set? Is there further intervention that might be necessary? Maybe they even need a surgery to make sure that the bone gets positioned properly so it can heal properly so they can, get their full range of motion back as quickly as possible. Okay. Western medicine excels at that. And in my humble but accurate opinion, okay, this is my opinion, they really do not excel at addressing root issues of illness. Doctors, medical doctors are not trained, by and large, with a few exceptions, to really dig into the root issues that are creating the illnesses and the symptoms that present in their office every day. In fact, it's been said that over 70%, and I believe that number is much higher, over 70%, maybe 90%, maybe 95%. Of the situations that medical doctors face every day are related to stress, stress of various sorts. We've talked about it here on this podcast before. Stress can be mechanical, which means something physically wrong in your body, like a broken bone or something like that. It can be emotional, which is what we're going to talk about today, the relationship between emotions and our body. Stress can be nutritional. Stress can be chemical from foods that we eat. Stress can look a lot of different ways. So when we say stress, it's not always just emotional stress or, relational stress or something like that. Stress can look a lot of different ways. But today we're going to talk about five ancient Chinese secrets that are relating organs to emotions. So the first one, now that I've interrupted myself, I'm going to come back to it, okay? The first one that I actually had an opportunity to see and to like put it together in my practice was a woman who came in and she was having some different situations going on in her lungs, specifically in her left lung. And I had just been learning I had just been learning about the relationship between the emotions and the organs. And so I just had to ask her. I said, "Hey, is there any chance that you have recently experienced a loss in your life, specifically maybe a female loss in your life?" And then I listened. Well, her eyes just got enormous. And she said, "You won't believe this, but yes, I have just lost." And it was a family member that was very close and dear to her. She had just returned from this person's funeral. She had lost this dear family member who was very close to her, who had passed away. And now this woman was navigating grief. She was grieving her loved one, and her lungs were giving her some feedback. So, yes, there is a relationship between the emotion of grief and our lungs. Now, what do you think about that? I wish you and I were both just sitting here having a sip of coffee or tea, and that you could just tell me what you think about hearing that right there. Because honestly, the first time I heard it, I thought, I don't know, that's kind of weird. That's just almost maybe too weird. And I have seen it and I have experienced it in my own body over the last 20 years. In fact, this time last year, I was extremely sick in my lungs. I was very, very sick. I actually went to the doctor, got some medication, and I was grieving. And I was grieving a lot of things. This time last year, I was grieving the loss of my marriage. I was grieving watching my mom slowly, slowly, die before my eyes. I was grieving a life that I thought I was going to be living. I was grieving a life that I loved. I was grieving a lot of things. And I became very, very ill in my lungs, very, very ill. And so it took a minute. It actually took probably a month to get over that. And then once I got better, I thought, you know what I need to do? I need to support myself in my lungs. And so I took on an herbal program for 90 days to really help support my lungs so I could heal. And I dug into some work to address and help heal the grief that I was feeling. Do you hear how that is a two-prong approach? It wasn't just the herbs to help my lungs get better. And praise Jesus, they did get better, but it did take a good 90 days for the coughing to stop, for everything to kind of get all better. And bless the Lord, I haven't been sick since, like at all. I'm so grateful. And so there is a big relationship between our lungs and the emotion of grief. I don't know exactly what you think about that, but I'm going to guess that if you're still listening, that you're okay with it. And let's go ahead and let's look at the next one. Oh my goodness. Okay. Have you ever heard either one of these sayings? These are both pretty common. Someone was so scared that they peed their pants. Have you ever heard of that before? Or have you ever heard, oh my goodness, she was so scared her knees were knocking? Oh my goodness. So those are a couple common sayings, or at least they were common once upon a time. And it has to do with feeling afraid, feeling fearful, experiencing the emotion of fear, and our kidneys and our knees. There's a relationship between the feeling of fear, the emotion of fear, which may be different than the spirit of fear, okay? In 2 Timothy 1:7 in the Bible, we read that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. I love that so much. God hadn't given us a spirit of fear, but that does not mean that we do not, from time to time, in certain circumstances, that we don't experience fear. In fact, we need to experience fear from time to time. It actually serves us and may keep us alive. Seriously, if you are living in a place where there are tornadoes, and if a tornado is like barreling toward your house, you're going to feel some fear and it's going to serve you. It's going to serve you to take cover, to get into a safe place. And you know what? While you're there, your knees might even start knocking. That happened to me one day. Just only one time that I can ever think of, I was so scared that my knees were knocking. You want to hear the story? I think I can keep it kind of brief and we'll get back on track, okay? My daughter, my late husband, this is not how he died. My late husband, my daughter, and my nephew, one day, beautiful sunshiny day, they wanted to go kayaking. And I was working at home, so I needed to stay home and work, but I do love to kayak. And so I took them the way that this was going to work. I was going to drive them and their kayaks out to the certain spot and drop them off. And then about 2 or 3 hours later, they would be floating up to a certain spot and I'd pick them up. Now, in the area where we were, even though it wasn't that long ago, there was no cell coverage. So if something happened, there would be no way for them to get a hold of me. And because of where we were in Southwest Missouri, there was no, there weren't like roads along this creek. It was a really rural area. So beautiful, clear, sunshiny day. I dropped them all three off. They were so happy. I was so happy for them. I had no concerns. I came home. I went back to work doing what I do. And a couple hours in, suddenly, out of absolutely nowhere, the sky became dark. Now, I was working at home, and as soon as the sky became dark, I thought, wait a second, they are out on the creek And I was just started praying, God, you got to take good care of him because this might be scary. And so sure enough, the sky got dark and then it began to rain very, very hard. And then it began to hail, which is scary when you're inside, but it's worse when you're outside. And it's worse. It's double dog worse when your family is out somewhere where you could no way find them and they're in hail and the wind was blowing. Okay, at that point, I was praying. I continued to pray, but I started to get scared because I thought, oh my gosh, it was lightning and it was like cloud to ground lightning. This was just a pop-up storm. And so I ran into my room and I needed to change clothes before I could go try to look for them. And so I was changing clothes and I literally noticed that my knees were shaking. And I thought, what in the world? I was definitely feeling the emotion of fear. I was scared. I was very concerned about them. And my knees were knocking. And I thought, well, there it is. It actually happens that way. So I will spare you the rest of the details, but it was quite a dramatic story. And at the end of the day, it had a happy ending. They were okay. But wow, did they have an adventure? And they ended up having to take cover under their kayaks while the creek was rising. They ended up ultimately having to abandon their kayaks, run across a field with lightning just crashing all around them, and had to go to a stranger's house and knock on the door and ask if the stranger could help them get back to where we were going to meet up. And it was scary and it made for a great story. It's still a great story. But I was so scared, my knees were knocking. And sure enough, there can be a relationship between the emotion of fear and our knees and our kidneys. So here on this podcast, I'm not here to give medical advice. I'm not here to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure anything. I'm here to share information with you that might be helpful as you're considering your own health and wellness. And so the next time you run into somebody or you yourself deal with a situation with your lungs, you might kind of question, wonder if that person or if I might be feeling some grief. Now, cool thing about grief, we don't just grieve when somebody dies. We can grieve the loss of an animal. We can grieve the loss of a relationship. We can grieve the loss of a job. We can grieve the way that we thought life was going to be, but it went a different way, and we don't like that. That can create us in us some grief, okay? With fear. Oh my goodness gracious. We can fear things like a big, bad, ugly storm and whether or not our family's going to be okay. We can fear things like illness. We could fear things like the unknown. Maybe we don't even know what we're afraid of. Or maybe it's things that we're just not sure how it's going to be. And so it makes us feel fearful and it makes us want to kind of withdraw. We can fear what other people think about us. And that can hold us back in big ways that keep us from experiencing everything that God has for us. And that can show up not only in our lives, but in our bodies as issues in our kidneys, issues with our knees. Isn't that interesting? All right, let's keep moving on. I won't have a dramatic story for every emotion and organ, but that one just came to mind and I wanted to share it with you. Okay, I might have a story for every one of them. All right, so the next one has to do with the emotion of anger. Holy cow, we have all had our angry moments, right? Even though I love to forgive quickly and I encourage my friends and my clients to forgive quickly, it is a human nature experience to feel anger from time to time. Now, if we're married, it doesn't serve our marriage to go to bed angry, right? But if we're just human and we're gonna get angry from time to time. And that's okay. Like, it's actually healthy. In fact, anger is part of a grieving process. It's natural, it's healthy to get angry when we're grieving something. Okay. But anger in and of itself can be related to two different components in your body. The first one is your liver, and the second one is the gallbladder. So if you or someone you know or love is struggling with a liver gallbladder situation, you might kind of wonder, are they dealing with anger? Or more likely, are they avoiding letting themselves feel anger in a certain situation? Or are they just cotton picking angry all the time? That can happen. Any one of those scenarios can be the situation. Whether someone feels anger and they try to suppress it, or whether they're just always angry and they are expressing it, that can over time, and it goes both ways. It can be the organ can have a situation going on and it can create the emotion in the person. So the gallbladder might be inflamed. Literally, if a gallbladder is inflamed, it is possible for a person to have more anger or just kind of feel a little bit more easily provoked or easily irritated. And then if the liver has something going on, the person may feel more anger. And that can actually happen. So the emotion of anger is commonly related to the liver and the gallbladder. Okay, what is next? Oh, my goodness, I love this next one. I love all of this. And I hope you do too. If you're still listening, I'm guessing you do, because this is just a beautiful example of how God has created us fearfully and wonderfully. Fearfully and wonderfully, we are made. Isn't that Psalm 139? I love it. And so this next association is one that I have seen commonly in women, especially who lose their mate. If they're married and their husband dies, I'm not speaking this over you. If this has happened to you, I'm not declaring this over you because you know we're picky about how we use our words around here. But the organ of the, well, which is actually the pancreas, is related to the emotion of joy. So when we feel joyful, life is sweet, right? And this pancreas helps us be able to metabolize sugar in real life, okay? Life is sweet. When life is sweet, we have more joy. When life is sweet, the pancreas is doing its thing, okay? But when we lose our joy, and when you lose your mate, it can feel like you've lost your joy. And some women, but not all, some men, and not all, but I've seen it enough that I see an association here. When someone is married and they lose their spouse, there is an increased, I've just observed it. I'm not saying there's a big statistic that goes with it, but it seems likely that if there's a loss of that kind of joy, you can tell I'm really stalling on this because I want to be careful about how I say this. But I've known a lot of women who lost their mate who have within 6 months developed blood sugar issues. Within 6 months of losing their joy, their pancreas seems to have a hard time managing their blood sugar. That's just one example. It could be other things too. When we lose our joy, it can create stress in our pancreas. Conversely, if our pancreas is struggling, we may feel less joy in our lives, right? So the pancreas and joy can go together. We have one more association I'm going to touch on right now. And this one's pretty easy to swallow. That pancreas joy thing, I know, I just kind of touched on that quickly. I'm really careful, and if you've been on here very long with me, you know this about me, or if you know me in real life, you know this about me. I am super careful about what I say because I believe our words have power. I believe that based on a lot of different things, but the biggie is that, how did God create the world? Well, He spoke it into existence. He used his words to create our world. And I do believe that to a great degree, we can use our words to do the same. We can create an entirely different life for our life for ourselves with our spoken words. I really believe that. And that is why I'm so careful about what I say. Now, also, do I probably say things I had no idea that I said? Sadly, that is probably the case. But when I'm aware of it, which is, you know, what we hope for, I try to be very intentional to speak life. So when I say, sometimes when someone feels like they've lost their joy, they might start experiencing challenges managing their blood sugar. That does not mean they're going to end up with a certain diagnosis, whether their blood sugar runs high or runs low. It just means there can be a relationship there. Now, the good news is in natural health, there are things that we can do to support our pancreas to help it do its job as a blood sugar manager better. Like there are actually natural remedies that can help with that. There are lifestyle things that we can do to help with helping our body manage blood sugar better, like making sure we get plenty of protein, making sure we don't eat too much sugar, making sure that we eat our carbohydrates with a protein, and that we're intentional with how we eat our food, when we eat our food, what kind of food we're eating. And so all those things play a role. So I wanted to circle back around to that because I know that I touched on that one very briefly. I really wanted to be careful about how I use my words in that situation. I don't want to declare over someone who might be navigating a loss right now that they're going to have blood sugar issues, because I don't believe that at all. I just have seen it enough over time. And this comes from traditional Chinese medicine and Ayurveda. Like, I'm not just saying I've seen it, so it's a thing. I'm saying it's something that someone else started seeing 2,500 years ago. And as a practitioner, I've gotten to see it over the last 20 years as well. All right, last one. This is so interesting. Have you heard or have you said, when you've seen or heard something that is so gross to you, you've said, "Ugh, that makes me sick to my, what? Stomach. Ugh, that makes me sick to my stomach. Ew, that is so gross. I'm disgusted. That makes me sick to my stomach. That turns my stomach." All those sayings show a link between our stomach and the emotion of disgust. When we feel disgusted with something, we are going to feel it in our belly. Isn't that interesting? Have you ever really put that together? Have you really ever put any of this together? It is so interesting. It's so stinking much fun to understand how God has wired our bodies and how, with just a little bit more information, like you're getting in this podcast, how we can gain an awareness that there is a relationship between certain emotions and certain organs, and that can give us an opportunity to support ourselves in our wellness, in our mental wellness, in our emotional wellness, in our physical wellness, to support ourselves so that during those times where we're experiencing anger or grief or fear, or a lot of joy, or not very much joy or disgust, there are actually things we can do in the natural to support our body. There are things we can do in the lifestyle, which is also part of our natural life, in our lifestyles to support our mind and our emotions. Isn't that fun? Doesn't that feel empowering? I love that. I absolutely love it. So with the stomach, and with the emotion of disgust, if we're just super disgusted about something for a while, we may notice changes in our stomach. And by stomach, I'm talking about your stomach, not just your gut, okay? But there is a relationship there as well. It's super common if we're feeling disgusted to notice changes in our digestion, to notice changes in our bowel habits, to notice changes in our general overall gut, in our overall belly, if you will. But with the stomach specifically, when we feel disgusted with something, we may notice like a pit in our stomach. Are you hearing all this? You know, I can tell you for sure, the next time you hear any one of the phrases that I've mentioned on this podcast today, your little ears are going to perk up and you're going to think about it differently than you did before. And that's awesome. That is so great. I absolutely love it. So when we're feeling issues in our stomach, we may want to think, and evaluate. Am I feeling disgusted about something? Something to consider. And the goal, the whole purpose and hope here is for you to feel empowered about this amazing creation that is your body, that God created for you, for the life that you live. I love how God has created us, and I love learning more about how our body and our mind and our will and our emotions are woven together. In Psalm 139, we read that God like knit us together in our mother's womb. Okay, I do not know how to knit. I don't want to know how to knit. Maybe one day I will. And if you knit, I just love that for you. Okay. But I'm not a knitter. My daughter can knit. And I think that is such a cool thing. So I don't know a lot about it, but I do know that when you're knitting, you're paying attention to a lot of little tiny detail. And if something gets messed up, you have to like take out a whole bunch of it and start all over. Or start over where the thing went off, where something got off track there. As I said, I'm not a knitter, but God must be a knitter because we read that He knit us together in our mother's womb. To me, even as a non-knitter, that suggests that He genuinely cares about every detail in our lives, all of them. He cares about how certain emotions affect our bodies. He cares about how our bodies can actually create certain emotions. And He made us this way. And I love that. I love that. I love how He loves us. And I love learning about how He put us together. So I hope that this has been helpful for you today. I would love to hear from you. What stood out to you from this episode? You can reach out to me on Instagram. You can reach out to me on Facebook. I'm pretty easy to find. And always, I sincerely would love to hear from you. So thank you for being with me today. I hope you have a magnificent week and that every chance you get, that you are sprinkling peace, health, and joy around just like confetti.
This has been Peace, Health, and Joy with Diana Wallace. Thanks for spending some time with me today. If this episode was encouraging to you, will you please do a couple things? One, leave me a review so other people can find this podcast. And two, subscribe so you never miss an episode. Until we meet again, I'm praying your week ahead is stuffed full with peace, health, and joy.